The following sermon was recorded at Pipe Creek Community Church in Pipe Creek, Texas. For more information, visit our website at pipecreekcc.com. May God bless you as you study His Word.
Our God and our Father, it is with humility and joy that we open Your Word, and with fear and trembling attempt to get to the bottom of truth that apart from Your Spirit we could never fully understand. So help us now, be with us now, give us clarity, enlighten our hearts so that we can live for You with courage, with love, and fully dependent upon You as our shepherd in all of life. These things I ask in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. In Genesis chapter 48, as the book of Genesis is coming to a close, Jacob is 130 years old. And he has Joseph before him and his sons, and Joseph's sons he's about to bless. He's pretty much blind, and he's about to bless Joseph's children. And this is Genesis 48, verse 15. This is what he says. It says, Jacob blessed Joseph, and then this is what he says. He says, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." This is the first mention, the first time we're given a glimpse of God as shepherd in all of Scripture. And it's if you stop for just a minute, depending on how well you know Jacob's life, if you stop for just a minute and think about what he's saying here, Jacob says, "The God who has been my shepherd all my life." And think about Jacob's life. His father loved his brother way more than him. He was exploited for many years by his uncle Laban. He ends up being tricked into marrying a woman he didn't love. And then he finally gets the opportunity to be with the woman he does love. And very soon after, she dies in childbirth. Then, as it happens so often, the sins of fathers go to the sons. And now, Jacob is loving one of his sons more than all the rest, Joseph. And the rest of the brothers are jealous and bitter because of that. And Jacob's other sons sell Joseph into slavery and tell him that Joseph was killed. So he goes years and years thinking that Joseph is now dead. And then there's famine in the land, and they almost starve to death. Then Benjamin and all the brothers go into Egypt, and they meet up with Joseph. Jacob knows nothing about this. But then Benjamin is put in prison, in Egyptian prison for a while, as Joseph is trying to work out whether or not his brothers have changed over all these years. Over and over and over again in Jacob's life, there are all these difficulties, not to mention his own sin and deception. He's just a little bit slimy and deceiving. And given all these difficult circumstances and all that happened in his life, not to mention his wrestling match with God, and so many other events. Here he is at the end of his life, and he can say, God has been my shepherd through all of it. He can look back on his life in those difficult circumstances and recognize the whole time God was there. There were times where he was sure that God had abandoned him. There were times when he was sure that God was out to get him. There were times when he felt like God was hurting him and or harming him. But he finally and ultimately gets to a place where he realizes he was wrong. That in all those things, in all those things, God was loving him. In all those situations, God was his loving shepherd. That's the thing about us sheep. When God is loving us, we don't feel loved often. When God is protecting us, we often don't feel like we are being protected. Hopefully we come to a place where we realize that when God is crossing our will, he's loving us. He's preserving us. He's keeping us. And that's what Jacob discovered. As we move through the Gospel of John and further on into chapter 10, we're looking at verses 7 through 10 today. Jesus changes the metaphor, and he goes from being the shepherd of the sheep who enters into the sheepfold. Now he becomes the gate. And it's about two things, I think, primarily, that I'm trying to bring about, bring to the surface, enlighten you, enlighten your hearts and minds with this morning. And that is the preeminent place of Jesus and the personal protection of Jesus. Okay? The preeminent place and the personal protection. We looked last week at the end of chapter 9 and through verse 6 of chapter 10. And the end of verse 6, it specifically says, John tells us, the Pharisees to whom Jesus has been talking, they don't understand what he's talking about. So verse 7 begins with that little word that's so often so important, so. And now Jesus is going to add on to what he's just said in such a way as to try to get them to understand because they don't have ears to hear. So from verse 7 through 18, Jesus is responding to their not understanding. They are not grasping the messianic connections Jesus is making in calling himself a shepherd. They're not anywhere close to understanding the vast greatness of his claims. They're lost. And so Jesus continues. And in verse 7 through 10, Jesus presents himself as the door of the sheep. And then in verse 11 through 18, as we look into next week, he is the good shepherd. So, the metaphor changes here, and Jesus now becomes the gate. Verse 7, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The only way to salvation is through Jesus. Amen. Let's go home, right? Okay, the only way to salvation is through Jesus. He's the only way. Do you recognize there are no other doors? He is the door. There are no other doors. He is the only way into salvation. No prophet that has come before Jesus would even get close to even daring to make such a claim. He is claiming a preeminent place in the salvation of God's people. Not the preeminent place of salvation in the lives of the people of God. That's his claim. And the statements of Jesus about the centrality of the place he holds in the salvation of God's people becomes clearer and clearer as you move through the Gospel of John, as you move through this chapter in particular, especially and until you get to verse 30, when Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Jesus says, I and the Father are one, and he says it within the context and the atmosphere of his preeminent place in salvation. In other words, the Father and I are absolutely united in saving a people. The ones that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I will lose none of them. Those that the Father gives me will hear my voice. They are mine, and I know them by name. And they will come to me, and they will follow me, and I will lead them out. The idea that God wants to save everybody and Jesus is doing everything he can is not biblical. The atmosphere of I and the Father are one is this. Working together to bring sheep to a shepherd. The elect of God, in other words, will be known because they all look to Christ as their shepherd, acknowledging themselves as his sheep, hearing his voice, and following him, and him alone. Verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. Another's voice they do not hear. Having entered through him into salvation, we live for him in salvation. He is the only way. This is the mark of the redeemed. We enter into life through Jesus, and then all of life becomes about living for Jesus. Why? Because he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. We saw that in verse 3 and 4, which I just repeated for you from last week. And this week it's in verse 7. He is the door of the sheep. Once again, this sheep and shepherd relationship, it is extremely personal. Of all the I am statements that Jesus makes, this is the I am statement in which Jesus expresses to us more than any of the other ones how he feels about his relationship with us. I am your shepherd, and you are my sheep. It's not even about us. It's about how he feels about this relationship. He is not everyone's shepherd, but all who are his, and all who are his come when they hear his voice. He is in the preeminent place of the salvation of God's people. God has not elected a plan for salvation, but a people. He has his own. And Christ will bring them home. It's not a program or a system to bring salvation, but elect individuals. Personally and intimately known. It is clear in this sheep-shepherd metaphor laid out for us throughout Scripture, but especially in John chapter 10. I've been to some auctions in my life. I probably don't look like it, but I have been. And I promise you, sheep don't choose shepherds. The shepherds purchase the sheep. God has an elect people, and they are known because they hear the shepherd's voice and they come. In verse 8, Jesus basically repeats what he said in verse 1 and verse 5 as if, once again, to emphasize it. Those who are mine hear my voice. Those who are not mine do not hear my voice. My sheep do not follow after strangers. They do not hear the voice of strangers. He repeats that in verse 8, basically almost summarizing what he's already said. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. That's what he says in verse 8. That's the idea. He is the only door. He is the true shepherd. And what he's doing is he's establishing the contrast between himself and all the false shepherds who have come before him. And in doing that, he's pointing this out very clearly, I think. What he's saying is, what they lack and what Jesus has and continues to have is they hear his voice. That is the contrast between the false shepherds that come before him and Jesus. The beautiful and intelligent Joanne Hempstead, after the sermon last week, said to me something that's very profound and absolutely true. She says, "It really, all of life really comes down to whether or not you are hearing his voice." She's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And I didn't want to steal it from her and act like it was my idea. But that's what Jesus is saying here. What all those false shepherds lack, and what I have and continue to have eternally, is my sheep hear my voice. And At the same time, they don't hear any other voices. They don't follow any other shepherds. The sheep hear Christ, and they continue to hear him. And this voice that we heard when we were called and came, this voice continues to powerfully work amongst every tribe and tongue and nation, until all that are his have come. And there's no equivocating here. Verse 8, my sheep did not listen to false shepherds. Just like in verse 5, my sheep will not follow false shepherds. For the sheep, for you and I, there is no other voice. There is no other shepherd. We don't enter into salvation through Christ and then live our lives following other shepherds. Are you doing that? And before you say no, stop and just think for a second. Are you doing that? Are you looking to Christ to defeat sin and death, but looking to your spouse for an identity? Or for status, or to your job for status and identity, or to your bank account, or your good looks, or whatever else that there might be out there that we cling to try to find a self. In other words, salvation is an ongoing reality. We enter through Christ, who is the door. And then the rest of life is lived following him as our shepherd. We don't take our salvation and then follow after other shepherds. We don't hear his voice initially and then live our lives listening to other people tell us what is true when they are most surely wrong. This is the exclusivity of Jesus. The reason that Jesus is the only way, because he's the only one who is able to do what must be done. He is the only one who can save us to the uttermost. He is the only one with the perfection of his nature and the power of his life sufficient to save us. And do you see? Jesus says, "Whoever enters by me will be saved." Will be saved. He loses none. So God, the Father, and Christ, His Son, come together, united as one, to redeem a people. It's not a plan. It's a people. It's personal. It's shepherd and sheep. And it's exclusive. Absolutely it is. Jesus is the only way. No one else can do it. No one else will ever be enough for you. He is singular and preeminent. The one true God who revealed Himself fully in one way, sent one Messiah, one Savior, to accomplish one act of redemption, to be the one and only shepherd to one flock, the church. This is the supernatural nature of the church. Along with the five physical senses we also have been given spiritual sight to see God and spiritual ears to hear God. We're like superheroes in that way. Added senses. A Christian in a room with others who do not know Jesus will look at the same scene and see and hear different things. Because the grace we know we need and the grace we have experienced eventually must affect how we see everything and how we hear everything. The end of Genesis, that's what's happening to Jacob. At last, it took 130 years. And finally, while he is blind, for the first time he's really seeing. He experienced, he knew he needed God's grace. He had an experience of God's grace. And then finally and ultimately, God's grace became the lens through which he saw everything. This has to happen to us. And it will. We enter through Christ for salvation, and then the rest of our life is spent looking to Him and dependent upon Him as our shepherd. Jesus has the preeminent place. Secondly, the personal protection of Jesus. The nature of our salvation is connected to the assurance of our salvation. The nature of our salvation is Christ saves us. He does it. Thus, sheep and shepherd. That's the idea. Sheep, as we have talked about, are not very smart. They can't protect themselves. They can't hide themselves. They are ultimately vulnerable. They don't choose the best shepherd. They don't choose the right way. And even when the shepherd goes out to get them, when they wander off, they make it hard. There is a wonderful, beautiful, sweet nursery picture of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders. And if we saw the scene about 30 minutes before he brought the sheep home, we would have seen him wrestling it to the ground and tying its legs up together. Because we fight God at every turn. We're saved by grace. We need a shepherd. Because we're sheep. Sheep need to be saved every day. They need to be protected every day. They need to be led every day. We're sheep. We're saved by grace. Every other religion presents God as a king. God is absolutely a king, but he's also a shepherd. It's a shepherd king. And if God is a shepherd king, and he has sheep, every other religion says, get tough. Get your life together, man. These are the things I ask you to do. Do them, and I'll bless you. Do my edicts. Do my law. Carry those things out, and you will live. But the gospel says we can't. The gospel says we need a shepherd to do it for us. And he did. That's how we got saved. And that's how we live. We look to him totally and utterly for our salvation. Now we look to him totally and utterly for our life. And it's in that that he provides this protection. That's why I say the security of our salvation is tied to the nature of it. We were saved by grace because of what Christ has done. We will be protected personally by our shepherd as well. We didn't run and jump into his arms and make great decisions. We didn't say, yeah, I have looked at all other options and you are the best one, Jesus. It's not what the Bible says about us. We're sheep. We ran. We ran from him. We fought him. We're saved by grace. He came and got us, powerfully called us. Now he powerfully keeps us. And you see this. Verse 9, Jesus says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. This in and out language actually is a Jewish idiom that's used often in Scripture. It's also, curiously, interestingly, in Numbers chapter 27, as God is, Moses is about to die and he's about to put Joshua in charge of the people. He's speaking to Moses about this, and Moses afterwards says, let the Lord appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the Lord's congregation may not be as a sheep who have no shepherd. This is the idea. We need a shepherd. And the language of going in and coming out is the language of freedom. Living at large. The one who chose us and called us and saved us and knows us is the door of the sheepfold. He is our protection. He leads us where we need to be. And in that life, we can go in and out protected by him. Let me say this. I want to bring this up. Some people, if you read a lot of interpreters, they look at this and they see this as, especially the false shepherds, as like the devil or something. Listen, Christ did not redeem you to abundant life so that you can live a life walking around always scared of the devil. Get your mind off of the, who cares about the devil? Get your eyes and your life totally on Jesus, and you can go in and out, and you're going to be okay. That's the point. That's the whole point. Jesus, in chapter 8, tells the Pharisees that he's the truth that will set them free. This is the thing about religion, is truth is not freeing oftentimes. If I think it's all about what I have to do. But if Christ is our shepherd and he's done it for us and he promises to get us home and protect us no matter what. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. Doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges. And oftentimes the way that he protects us as a shepherd is with a rod and a staff, which means he might use it to grab us by the neck, wrestle us to the ground, bring discipline. But it's loving. It's always for our good, whether or not we recognize it or not. So this is security language. In and out. He is the door. This is the picture. Out in the fields, a shepherd finds a corner, a rock outcropping of some kind, and he makes a little pen for the sheep, and there's an opening, and he lays across the opening so that nobody comes in apart from him knowing it. And none of the sheep go out apart from him knowing it as well. Our security is found in the nature of our salvation and in the promises of a shepherd who is laying out the door and keeping us safe. This is the personal protection of Jesus. A couple of points of practical application, and I'll close. If Jesus is our shepherd, and especially if we are his sheep, then that means our looking to him as Lord has got to be comprehensive. It's a comprehensive lordship. When we first come to Jesus, I don't know what your personal testimony is, when we first come to Jesus, usually there's something going on in our life, an aspect of our life, and we need Jesus' help. However, ultimately, he's shepherd and we're sheep. That means he has to be Lord of every aspect of our life. Our life at work, our life at home, our relationships at work and our relationships at home, in the church, in politics. If he's Lord, we adopt his worldview. We see things the way he sees them. We grow and mature to feel the way he feels. And to see in ourselves the same things he sees. So, he's shepherd and we're sheep. That means he's physician. That means he is protector. That means he is the one who feeds us. That means he's the one who provides for us. He's shepherd. Every aspect of our life, every aspect of the sheep's life looks to the shepherd dependently and in submission totally. So, first of all, this personal protection, sheep-shepherd relationship is comprehensive. Lastly, it's also unconditional. As I said, he uses the rod and staff to bring some pain sometimes. Jacob would testify, he did testify to us, that all through all that, now he recognizes that God was the shepherd that whole time. So, Jesus is going to say to us things we don't like sometimes. We're going to feel like he's hurting us and throwing us down and tying us up. We're going to feel like he's crossing our will in such a way as to take joy out of our lives. And through it all, he's the shepherd saying to the sheep, trust me. Know me. Know that what I'm doing is what you need. Knowing that what I'm doing is what's best for you. Give yourself to me. He is king, but he is shepherd. Shepherd king. The authority is absolute and gentle. His throne is sovereign and gracious. This is our God. He is our shepherd. And because of all these things, when other false shepherds have come and continue to come, only to steal and kill and destroy. False shepherds, in contrast to Jesus, they don't purchase the sheep, they steal them to use for themselves. They sacrifice, they kill them for their own good and ultimately destroy them, lead them into utter destruction. This is the idea of steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come so that we might have life. Abundant life. What is this abundant life? It's eternal life. It's not just a lot of something, this word abundant life. This word abundant. It's not just a lot of something. It's a kind of something. It's life eternal. It's life abundant. An abundant life is security in knowing I'm protected. Assurance in the God who saved me and promises to get me home. It is not trying to always measure up and not finding my identity in things that ultimately will let me down. It is looking to the one that saved me and finding abundant life, eternal life, going in and coming out, kept safe, kept fed, not fat and lazy, fed, not heavy and satisfied and comfortable. I don't know about your experience in relationship with Jesus, but that's not been mine. Satisfied? Absolutely. Is he enough? Oh, yes. But is he going to let me be comfortable? Is he going to let me always find a way to be safe? Or is he going to work in my life in such a way as to make me faithful and courageous? That's how he works. That's how this shepherd works. Because as he brings us home, ultimately, his mission, which he will not fail, is he's going to make us just like him. He is making us, turning us from one degree of glory into another in his very same image. And that's what we want. His preeminent place in his personal protection. We'll see this more in the coming weeks. Let's pray. We're overwhelmed by your grace, Lord. And we thank you for the security and assurance that we have, knowing that we're in safe hands, having been given to you. I pray that you would help us to be ever conscious of this fact. Don't let us stray from it. And when we start to chase after idols, when we start to fear man more than we fear God, when we start to live for the applause of the world instead of for your glory, when we start to find our identity in things that cannot possibly satisfy, remind us of who we are and who you are for us. Ultimately, we are able to live at large, courageous and sure, because we are known by the shepherd. Thank you. work in our hearts in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen.